This is the AYG List with April Yvonne Garrett, part of the Tavis Smiley Network on Blog Talk Radio.
Don't sweat the technique.
On the AYG List, I talk with fascinating people. Some at the top of their game, others still climbing. All possessing an uncommon commitment to owning their stories and achieving their vision. I also navigate sometimes complex conversations that unpack and contextualize current events with thoughtful individuals who represent a diverse array of well-informed and passionately articulated perspectives.
Hang out with April on Facebook, peek into her world on Instagram, and follow her on Twitter at the AYG List. Visit her inspiration, lifestyle, and social commentary blog at theayglist.com. And now, April Yvonne Garrett.
Don't sweat the technique.
Last week, tennis college lacrosse midfielder Holden Richards made the bold decision to share his multi-layered coming out story with the entire world via an article in OutSports that was also picked up by the Huffington Post. Today, Holden and I chat about what encouraged him to come out to his family, his lacrosse team, his Phi Kappa Sigma fraternity brothers, and other friends, not exactly in that order. Holden, welcome to the AYG List.
Thank you very much for having me.
So last week in an article that took off like wildfire, the entire world learned that you were gay. That doesn't seem to be entirely newsworthy these days, except for the fact that you are a student at my alma mater, Kenyon College, and a member of the men's lacrosse team, a team that I managed actually for 4 years while I was a student there. Of course,
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love the guys, and I love Coach Heiser. I don't know if you've seen him around. He's amazing. But, of course, my inbox was flooded with your story as published in OutSports and on the Huffington Post. I read it. I shared it liberally. And then I reached out to you to invite you for this chat that we're about to experience on my show. But I wanted to start from the immediate past week because I know it must have been really crazy. Tell me how this article came about and what have been the range of responses that you've experienced from other people.
Well, the whole article came about from myself contacting Sid Ziegler, and I actually discovered OutSports through one of my Phi Kappa alumni. He actually works in the Office of Alumni Relations. And then it just, like, happens that I had a couple, like, Dan Savage books in my hands, and I went to go have a meeting with him for a fraternity. He's like, oh, you read, like, Dan Savage. And I was like, yeah. He's like, are you, like, that for my team? I was like, yeah. He's like, do you? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. So it's kind of cool to meet a notable alumni who's working at Kenyon College who is also gay. So he gave me all these, like, online resources to, like, for more gay athletes oriented. So this fall I started following OutSports quite religiously, actually. And then being kind of, like, playing with the idea or, like, thinking it, like, talking with my family and friends of, like, potentially doing this article. Because, like, at least for me, doing this article wasn't so much for, like, my 10 minutes of fame. Yeah, it's kind of cool that I get, like, 200 more Twitter followers or a little bit of that. But I think the message of the overall article would be greater than myself. So I think that's the whole point of me doing it, because statistically it's not possible that I'm going to be the only gay lacrosse player that's playing a sport right now.
Right.
And I just wanted to share the message that if you feel comfortable enough with yourself and your sexuality, like, it's possible that coming out is totally plausible for you and your teammates. It's going to be probably the best support you're ever going to have.
I want to get a little bit more into the immediate response to the article. Clearly, people knew on your immediate kind of intimate end that it was coming out, and you probably had to negotiate a couple of things to have a certain amount of disclosure. So talk about, first of all, how your peers and how the campus kind of responded to it, and then talk about how the greater community responded to it.
Yeah, so I think the article ran last Wednesday, if I'm correct. And that Wednesday, we had a 6 a.m. practice, and then followed by an 11 a.m. lift, and then I had class right after. After breakfast, I took a nap, and I think Sid ran the article probably 9 o'clock West Coast time, so I was in class by then. Then all of a sudden, like, my phone just started blowing up, like, it was insane. And I couldn't answer it because I'm in class. I started getting antsy in class, 50 minutes left, and I'm just like, I just want to get out here. And, like, because I hadn't even read the article myself.
Oh,
and everybody's, like, messaging me, like, phone's blowing up. And then, like, I get out of class, a couple people surround me, like, hey, I just read your article. Like, it's amazing. I'm like, really? Like, I haven't even read it. And, like, someone's like, it's on the Huffington Post. I'm like, no way. That's, like,
yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah.
So then I eat lunch after class. I wasn't even hungry anymore because I just had to rush back to my room and just read the article. And then automatically people on Twitter, like, who I didn't even know, just started congratulating me and thank you for being brave and taking a big step forward. And along with that, friends from college, from high school, people from middle school that I haven't even heard of, like don't even remember, started contacting me on Facebook and on the phone, just saying, hey, I'm sorry if I ever like said anything to like hurt you or like disrespect you. And I've been actually been flooded by like, emails from people of all ages. And I'm actually really surprised because in doing this article, I was expecting at least 5 to 15 emails, 8 emails, like, I don't know, West Baptist Church could be emailing me saying, you're going to go to hell or something. But I'm actually, like, really surprised that I haven't even gotten a single bigotry email, which is...
Thank you.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And then I guess the biggest thing was, I'm not a big Facebook guy. I came out, started coming out last spring, and I never made an official Facebook post where, like, a lot of people do, like, hey, like, so you guys know I'm gay or something?
Right.
Once this article came out, everybody who I'm very close to knew I'm gay and associated people who just see through grapevine. So my other, like, 700 friends who I never talked to that much, I just, like, did a quick Facebook post, put the article on, just, hey, guys, just so you know, like, I play lacrosse and I like guys. And then it's just overwhelming because usually, like, my Facebook post, I'll get, like, 10 to 20 likes and I call it a good day. But then, like, over, like, 300 people liked it, like, over 50 comments, and I just decided to myself that I'm never posting on Facebook again because nothing will ever beat that.
You have no idea what's coming. You know it's going to be better. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So were there any responses that kind of surprised you?
I think the biggest surprises to me were mainly from high school lacrosse players, people who I played with in high school or on club teams, and old coaches because, I don't know, I never really kept in contact with them. And my good buddy from high school, he and I had a really long conversation after he read the article, and it was just saying that high school wouldn't have been the same without you. I'm glad that I was part of your team and just, like, I still love you and I can't wait to hang out with you when I come back. This changes nothing, which was just, like, amazing. And then a lot of my coaches from, like, club ball or from high school, and even a couple opposing opponent coaches in high school from rival high schools are emailing me saying, just congratulations. We fully support you. You're a great player in high school. I hope all the best in the season. Like, if you ever need anything, contact us.
Yeah.
And then I think one of the biggest emails I got was from the director of chapter services for my fraternity. He sent a really nice long email because, like, apparently the article also spread through the national of my fraternity. So
yeah.
It's just, like, surprising to me how far and wide this article has got because I've had stories where, like, my friends, like, yeah, I sent this article to my mother and she said she cried the whole time while she's just reading it. I'm like, I don't want to cause people to cry.
Those are good tears, though. I mean, I had the same response when I read it. I mean, being one who is African American and female, I was a theta, and Kenyon was really homogeneous back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do not want to compare your experience with my experience at all. It just struck me how, with my experience and then the experience of those that I knew who were out at Kenyon at the time that I was there, it was just a really extraordinary kind of historical moment for all of us and provided us with tears of gratitude and joy because of the progression and the healing. And we'll get into a little bit more at another point in this interview, because I reached out to a lot of my friends to kind of share some of their stories, some that you may be aware of and some not, about some of those progressions. But those were good tears. I mean, I think people want to move beyond whatever misgivings they may have. And when someone tells a story like this from a personal perspective, it is really powerful. And it helps people cope. So, you know, I think that that's what you tapped into. So good for you. Bravo. And I did see a lot of support coming from major lacrosse organizations, too, especially on Twitter. I was really happy to see that on Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah. Good for the sport. Good for you. Good for Kenyon. But I want to go back to the beginning. Tell me about your childhood, being born in Texas, moving to Colorado, then Oregon. What was your family life like, and what values and interests shaped your formative years?
Well, my parents grew up in Vermont, and both my older brothers were conceived in Vermont. And then with my dad's job, we moved down to Texas. And both my parents have really big families. I think my dad has five brothers and one sister, and my mom has like four or five sisters and two or three brothers, if I've just counted them. But like when they grew up, they're like they're brought up in a very Catholic and Episcopalian homes. Mm-hmm. So like they had a church and like family dinners every Sunday, and so like they were brought up in kind of that atmosphere.
Right.
And so we moved to Texas. I was conceived there. I don't remember Texas because we moved out there when I was still an infant.
Okay.
And then we moved to Colorado in like 95 or 96, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a couple of memories there, but nothing too significant. I just remember being punched in the face by my best friend, and that's about it.
Okay.
It's really random, right? It's funny what your mind remembers and whatnot.
Yeah, it is.
But I think the significance of my childhood is in Oregon when they moved there in 98. I don't really know how to describe Oregon. The best way to describe Oregon, I grew up right outside of Portland. If you watch the show Portlandia, it's practically a biography of Portland. Portland is such a great place. It's just so accepting of everybody, no matter like who you are, what you're into, or like how you dress. It's an awesome place to grow up in. But for me, my family sent all of their sons into Catholic high school and like middle school and elementary school.
Okay.
And so elementary school, I think everybody is oblivious to the sexuality, so there's nothing like really big right there. But I mean, at least what I remember from elementary school is that you would like go to church like every other day, sing and glorify to God, and then you go to class and like learn more religion. And I think it might just been like the older generation teaching, but they still taught you that a man lying with a man is wrong and you go to hell, and like describe hell as this like awful place, and it kind of like scares you a little bit. Don't want to go there. And so I actually ended up leaving the elementary school because I was bullied in fourth grade. So I ended up going to a public school for the remainder of my elementary school and middle school.
Okay.
And from there, I still didn't like really fit into like my friend groups. I had like one or two really good friends that I hung out with. I always got along with girls better than guys because they're just easy to talk to. And it was really easy for me, I guess, to keep my cover because I knew how to like charm girls, I guess, knew how to say the right things that they wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really got well with the girl groups, but like guys were like a mystery to me. I didn't really know how to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came to high school, I ended up going back to a Catholic high school because that's where my oldest brother went, and I wanted to be like him. So I ended up going back to a Catholic high school, and there, like, religion is required to take for all 4 years of your high school career.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just continued my, like, kind of recluse lifestyle of just, like, focusing on like my studies and my sports and athletics, because in my mind, like everybody says college is like so much better than high school. So in my mind, it's like, survive high school, and then college is just going to be so much better. And in actuality, for me, it is.
And
I know high school was not the greatest time of my life, because that's when my sexuality became more apparent to me. And the more I fought it, the more I became depressed, and thoughts of suicide came about, because it's just like, why am I this way when my whole life I've been told that this is wrong? And I feel like that's what every LGBT goes through if they're in like a religious family. So it was definitely hard for anybody. But as soon as I left high school, I thought it was going to be better. So I went to my first college in Rochester and then played lacrosse there. And it was a good time. Guys were great. But I transferred for like academic reasons. The school just wasn't the right fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I ended up at Kenyon. And to be honest, like, Kenyon to me right now is like the best place on earth, because just the environment and everything is just kind of indescribable, because it's kind of, I think of Kenyon as a person, and if it's a person, I'd marry Kenyon if I could.
Ah, I love you for that. I think all of us feel that. I think every Kenyon College graduate and student right now just got chills hearing you say that. That's incredible. And it's incredible that Kenyon can be that place for so many different types of people from so many different walks of life. It's really incredible. But I want to go back a little bit, because you talked about when it became really apparent to you that you were gay. Do you recall, was that high school, was that middle school, and what that confrontation was really like for you?
For me, it kind of came a little more apparent, I mean, middle school, because in middle school, I ended up experimenting with two of my guy friends.
Okay.
And we kind of continued that for like 1 or 2 years, just kind of like exploring it. But then once high school came out and we didn't go to the same high schools, like, I kind of just, like, cut off, like, communication with them, because in my mind, if I didn't communicate with them or talk to them, these thoughts would go away.
Right.
And so, to me, when, I don't know how to say this appropriately, to me, like, when looking on the internet at, like, two guys making out, like, it shows appeasing to me, but then, like, after the fact of looking at it, I just feel, like, disgusted with myself. Why did you do this? Like, this is totally wrong. It's like, you need to stop this. But then, like, a week or two later, like, I go back and do it again.
Right.
So, to me, it's just like, the mind is telling you what you want, and, like, then afterwards, like, you're thinking that it's wrong. Like, you're trying to think more rationally about what you've been, like, kind of ingrained in your mind.
Right. Do you think that your family members or friends, while you were going through this in that period of time, had a clue?
No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I always try to have a girlfriend or someone around my arms to keep it that way.
Why did you choose Nazareth College in the beginning? What drew you to that particular college?
When you're getting recruited for lacrosse, I don't know if it's true for other sports, your senior year of high school, you can go and visit the colleges that are interested in having you play for them. And so I visited Kenyon, I visited Nazareth, I visited, like, the school in Maryland and school in New Jersey. So I kind of narrowed it down to 4 colleges and went around them. And I think my mom told me just to, like, go with your gut feeling and, like, go to the place that you think you're going to have the best 4 years of your life. So when I went to Nazareth, I think it was my last college visit, so I visited all the other colleges before, and this is my last one. And I just, like, had a really good connection with the guys and, like, had a really good time. And the coaches were amazing, and everybody was just seemed really nice.
Okay.
And then so just, like, my gut feeling was just, like, this is where I'm going to spend my 4 years.
And then?
And really happy my first semester at Nazareth. And then over winter break, I began to have, like, a more existential crisis of who I am and, like, who I want to be and what I want in life, and kind of more, like, with my whole sexuality and dealing with that. It became more and more apparent, like, to me, because I had a really good semester, like, my freshman year, like a 3.9 or something like that. And then my grades started kind of declining my second semester. I think I ended, like, with a 3.5. It's not bad, but, like, usually I'm a better student than that. But it's like I started to see my unhappiness affecting walks of my life that usually it's never affected before, such as like school, lacrosse, hanging out with friends, trying to keep my cover with a girl. Like, it was just harder for me mentally to do that.
Right.
But I ended up transferring from Nazareth mainly because I came to the realization that I'm not going to play lacrosse for the rest of my life. As much as I love the sport, I'm not going to be recruited to the MLL because simply, like, I don't go to a D1 school to say that. Mm-hmm. And then, so I was like, I'm going to use lacrosse to get into the best academic school I can get into.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, academically, I wasn't being challenged at Nazareth.
Okay.
So then I contacted the head coach here, Coach Mazzardi, and ended up talking with him about transferring. I'm here now. So I think it worked
Yay.
All out.
Yes, indeed. What was it about your life at Kenyon that gave you the freedom to explore your identity in a new way?
Dang, that's an open-ended question. I think that maybe I'm just going to compare it to Nazareth because I don't really remember, like, LGBT groups at Nazareth or, like, any openly gay people at Nazareth. I didn't know one transgender, and that was about it. Like, he and I hung out now and then, which was pretty cool. But here at Kenyon, we have, like, the Unity House, Queer Women's Society, Queer Men's Society. We have Kenyon Athletes for Equality. So that's four major groups that, like, are very have a huge presence on this campus. And with that, there's openly gay people where, like, even though the population at Kenyon's, like, 1,200 kids, I think there's, off the top of my head, like, 10 to 20, like, openly gay people, whether they play sports or just non-athletes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the amount of people openly gay here just, like, shows the strength that these people have to be who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of people, I think, that are open shows that Kenyon is probably one of the most accepting, you know, colleges that I know of. I'm sure there's other colleges or universities that can be as accepting, but I think the small liberal arts feel, the small community that we have just brings us tighter together and lets everybody be who they want to be. And it's not just for, like, straight or gay people. We love you if you're a writer or, like, a science major, or we'll allow you to explore who you want to be academically, sexually, or any other part of your life that you want to explore. So I think there was many contributions for allowing me to find comfortability in my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I owe a great deal to that, to my fraternity and my close friends that I've gained from the fraternity, because without them, I wouldn't, and like the alumni from that fraternity, I don't think that I probably wouldn't have come out until after my college career.
It's so compelling for me and others, especially Kenyon graduates from another era, that the support you say you were given to come out came from places that in the past were far from welcoming of gay students, fraternities and sports teams and the like. Walk me through that a little bit about how you gradually came out and how it was received.
So I think the first person I came out to was one of my fraternity's alumni who is also gay, and with his support and kind of guidance, I gained comfortability with my sexuality and the courage to be who I am, because he's the one, like, he came out to his fraternity, or, like, our fraternity when he was an undergrad, and, like, his response was overwhelming. He's like, nobody really cares. If they love you for who you are,
right.
The fact that you like guys behind closed doors is not going to change anything.
So
during this time, I was also having, like, really good life talks with one of my good friends and fraternity brothers, and also seeing a therapist here just to kind of, like, help the psychological side of coming out to people and whole sexuality thing. And the first person undergrad-wise that I came out to was my fraternity brother. And we're just playing, like, I texted him, like, hey, like, I really need to tell you something. Do you mind if I come over and hang out? So I was, like, really nervous because, like, I never came out to anybody. So I got, like, jittery. I was like, can we play video games or something? So we started playing video games, and it's like, okay, like, what do you want to talk about? So, like, start stuttering, getting nervous, and then it's like, finally just spat it out, like, oh, like, I like guys. And he was like, okay. It's like, it doesn't matter. I was like, oh, I wasn't bad.
Right.
He's like, yeah, nobody really cares. He's like, to be honest, like, we kind of had our suspicions because I was dating a girl at the time, and she was really good friends with a couple of guys in the fraternity. And mm-hmm. to be frank, she was coming to him and asking why I wasn't doing sexual stuff with her.
Mm.
And it was just like, because it was getting to the point where I was, like, transitioning, coming out, and wasn't really, couldn't really do anything with a female anymore.
Right, right.
And so after I told him, that weekend I came out to, like, a couple of seniors in the fraternity, and they're all really receptive.
Mm-hmm.
One even came out, loved my strength, and he came out, like, he thinks he's, like, bisexual, which is really good for him. It's, like, helping other people come out in their own processes.
Right.
And then just, like, after that, I guess I'm old-fashioned. Like, I really like to tell people to their, like, faces, like, have a conversation with them, like, more one-on-one, it's more personable.
Yeah.
And if I ever got a time alone with people, like, I would just, like, casually, like, bring it up in conversation, like, hope you don't mind. And the responses were all like, oh, we still love you no matter what. Like, you're a great person. We accept you. This is not going to change anything. So started coming out.
I'm curious, actually, about the girl that you were dating. How did you tell her?
I never actually – the story goes that so she was coming to my friends saying, well, I'm not going to do anything sexually with her. So I was like, okay, to keep my cover, I'm going to have to do this. So I went to her room with the full expression, like, I got to do this to keep my cover. And then things started happening, but I wasn't able to, I guess, perform.
Got
and
it.
So I just said that, I'm sorry, I'm gay. And I put my clothes on and left. It probably
wow.
wasn't, I probably should have stayed there and talked about it, but I just was just, like, so shocked that I came out to her, like, in that frank manner that I just, like, had to leave and, like, collect myself. But, like, I'll see her around campus now, and, like, we'll exchange and we'll talk, and everything is great between us, but there's really no hard feelings, and I think she understands, but I think it was just, it wasn't the nicest thing for me to do to her at that time, because it's,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's one thing I regret doing. It's just, like, being so frank. I think it was just rude. But I've apologized, and everything seems to be fine, at least on the surface, between us.
Well, you can apologize to her again now.
Sorry.
There you go. Good. Good for you. And, you know, that's a common story that when I had this exchange with some of my friends, every one of my gay male friends pretty much has that same story of that awkward moment when they had to tell the woman that they were intimately involved with before they came out that they were gay and how they did it and with the fear and trepidation. So I really appreciate you sharing that because I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate hearing that from you and it'll allow them to process. Talk to me about our team, our men's lacrosse team. Tell me what that was like.
Mm-hmm. What aspect of just coming out to them?
Just coming out to them, how your teammates responded, how the coach responded. I know there were a couple of anecdotes in the article that I read,
mm-hmm.
but talk to me a little bit about that.
So, I don't know when you're here. Did you guys have your own sex advisors?
We had something like that, yeah. We had something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, for, I don't know if people are listening, but, like, your sex advisors, are basically our job is we're a group of 24 kids. You have interviews, become a position, and we'll come back early for school and train, then we'll have, like, 4 sessions with the freshmen one every week and go over basic alcohol, drugs, and, like, safe sex and, like, safe practice because we're a student-run organization, we know that it's a, high possibility that they're going to experiment with these things over college. So
mm-hmm.
we wanted to give them a resource to come to if they need help and kind of, like, educate them because, like, freshmen can be, like, reckless. So in the spear and sex group, there's me and then there's 2 other lacrosse players a part of this organization.
Okay.
And before, like, our last day of training, we'll go around and share a story about, it can be either, like, you under the influence of alcohol or, like, a sex story or even both. And so since I'm an old-fashioned guy, I wanted to tell these 2 lacrosse players before I told my story just out of respect that, like, hey, I'm gay. My story is going to be about me, like, exploring my sexuality. I just wanted to let you guys know because, like, this is who I am, and there's that.
Okay.
And so they're a little, like, struck because, like lacrosse players, like, we're all supposed to be straight, and it was just kind of, like, out of the blue. So I guess they're a little shocked at first, but then you're like, oh, yeah, like, that's cool. Like, doesn't really matter. And so I was just like, hey, you guys are – you hang out with lacrosse guys a lot more than me, and you guys are a little closer than you are to me. So if you guys want to tell the other players on the team, I'm more than okay with that because I'm not going to see them as often as you. Everything went fine, and, like, more people on the team found out, and which was fine. And then on the fence, like, up north in the new apps, I was talking to one of the lacrosse players I told, he's like, yeah, like, been telling people, and, like, they're like, oh, that's cool. Like, they never would have guessed that you like guys, and they're really accepting, and they understand, and we, like, we miss you, like, coming up to parties and stuff. Like, please, like, come by when you can.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, hearing that just made it a lot better for me because it was, like, the coming out to everybody else except the lacrosse team, like, the lacrosse team was harder than coming out to send my parents because it was, like, I feel like there was more pressure to perform, I guess, with the lacrosse team. And it's like, I thought it might drive a wrench into the wheel or something and cause some huge, like, commotion, which in reality it didn't. With that, I think a lot of manly sports such as, like, football or lacrosse or ice hockey, rugby, like, really physical sports, I think it's really common for people to say, like, oh, like, that's so gay, or, like, or call people, like, the word fag.
Right.
And now I'm very, like, laid back. Like, I love gay jokes as much as any other straight or gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll crack them at myself. I'll make fun of myself. Like, it doesn't bother me. So, like, stuff like that, so gay doesn't even bother me. But the word fag is just, it's unacceptable to me because I just don't really like the word.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on the lacrosse field or, like, off the field, if I hear, like, that word, I would be like, hey, call this guy whatever you want except that word, just at least out of respect for me. Like, I don't care if you call him that when I'm not here, but if I'm in earshot, I do not want to hear that word.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm very stern about it. Just, like, and plus being bigger than most of the guys on my team kind of helps the situation. After taking more of a stance on, I guess, the language, people have been coming up to me. If they thought I, like, heard them say it, they, like, come and apologize and say, like, it wasn't directed at you. It just flipped out. Like, I'm trying to work on it. It's really turning around on lacrosse humans since our fall ball season. Like, I really haven't heard any homophobic slang or language.
You came out to your parents after you came out on campus, did you not?
Yeah. So I came out to my parents this summer.
Okay.
Soon or something.
And their response?
So it's actually a pretty funny story, at least I think it is. So we were coming back from a movie, and it was just my dad and my mother and myself. And a couple weeks before, I went to Pride over the weekend when my parents were out of town, so that aligned pretty well, I thought. And over Pride, I ended up getting an equality bracelet and just ended up wearing that around. Because in my mind, I set a deadline that I said, like, I had to come out to my parents before the summer ended. And so, like, finding this bracelet, this way I don't have to bring it up. So if they ask about the bracelet, like, I'll tell them.
Right.
And so we're just sitting in the car, and we're at some red light, and I was in the front seat, so, like, my feet were on the dashboard, and, like, my hands, it's, like, obviously in plain view. So my mother in the back seat, she's like, honey, like, what's that on your wrist? I was like, oh, my friend got me this Pride bracelet, like, at Pride. And she's like, oh, you're not gay, are you? I'm like, yeah, I'm gay. And my dad starts to chuckle. He's like, oh, you mean gay-friendly, right? I'm just like, nope, just gay.
Wow.
And, yeah, I'm quite frank, aren't I? And then we had, like, 10 minutes until we got home, and that whole 10-minute car ride home, not a single word was said.
Uh-huh.
So, like, in my mind, I'm freaking out a little bit. I'm like, oh, like, why did I have to do that way? It's like, it's going to have been handled so much better.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, we get home, pull in the driveway, I get out of the car, and then my mom, like, kind of, like, pokes her head out the window. She's like, oh, when you go to the grocery store, we'll be right back. I was like, okay. So my parents just, like, pulled out the driveway and left me, like, home alone. So, like, in my mind, I'm freaking out, like, oh, God, like, someone help me.
Right.
So I ended up, like, texting and calling some friends who I came out before my parents, and, like, told them to come over and, like, hey, let's, like, hang out, like, I need some support right now.
You're like, I need a buffer, I need help.
Exactly. If they were here, I don't think my parents would, like, yell at me or kick me out the house or something like that. And so my parents came back, and nothing was really said, and then my friends left, and the next day My mom ended up having an hour-long conversation with me about this whole thing, and she was very accepting and loving, and I think she was just more concerned about my safety and mainly the guys' lacrosse team, because usually we don't have the best rep with being homosexually friendly.
Right.
And then the day after that, I ended up having a two-hour conversation with my dad. So my dad has a gay brother, but he was just, again, just like a mother, worried about safety and lacrosse guys. And he kind of apologized to me, because he was like, I just feel sorry for you because I wish I could help, because I don't really know how to educate you in the homosexual ways. And he's just worried about HIV and basically all the normal coming out stuff. So it was really good to see my parents come around. And to be honest, I knew they would come around, but I just didn't, the situation didn't really plan out like I expected.
And so how did they respond to the article? Because that's really, it's one thing to have your child come out to you and your intimates. It's another thing for the child to come out to the world.
Mm-hmm. We were on vacation this winter break, and I was talking with them about coming out more publicly about my situation, not so much myself, but for others out there who might be struggling with their sexuality. And they thought it was a really good idea, but they were just more worried that the article could show other lacrosse teams that will play in the future, have them potentially target me. I don't know if this is correct, but the NFL was supposed to have four or five guys come out publicly as gay, but they ended up dropping out, and one of the guys said that it wouldn't be safe for them to come out because people would intentionally target them, try to hurt them. To my parents, that was a big deal, coming out publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, they supported me about this article, and my mom ended up sharing it on her Facebook as well, and getting an overwhelming response from friends, her old players, and it's just been awesome. And my dad has been calling me every day and seeing what new messages I've got, and
nice,
just talking about it. So it's been a really humbling experience to go through this process, I guess.
Yeah.
The public process of coming out.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was wondering, as I was reading your story and the information that you sent my producer, et cetera, because I'm friends with Brendan Iambadejo, who is the NFL player who probably is most publicly a straight ally for LGBT issues. And I think I was probably even with him at one of the first events where he took a very public stand in support of LGBTQ equality, and watching him evolve over time as this advocate and watching professional athletes come out and it becoming a conversation that folks are having on all levels of athletics with men and women who are coming out. I just thought, what an interesting time for our nation, our world, and even thinking about Sochi and all the crazy that's happening right now with that about gender equality and freedom to express who one is. I just thought the timing of your piece was gorgeous and lovely, and that it's going to provide a new level of conversation for athletes on the collegiate level, especially in the sport of lacrosse, and I'm grateful that you started it. But, you know, it was funny because I think I told you it prompted me to talk to some of my peers, some of whom were out, some who were not out, about their experiences at Kenyon in particular. I attended the college in the late 80s and early 90s, and it was a place where we were trying to figure it out on a whole swath of issues regarding diversity. And what I did not know, as active as I was on campus, what I did not know was about the physical and verbal intimidation that my gay peers were receiving, or people who weren't even out at that point. It was a really hostile place for some people. Some people had stuff etched on their doors. Some people had doors that were potentially almost burnt down. And it's crazy because, honestly, I don't recall knowing that as a student, as connected and as involved as I was. And sometimes they dealt with it with humor. One of my friends, Nick Nicholson, told this story about how he was in Pierce in the main dining hall on campus and was walking past a fraternity table, and one of the brothers screamed at him, "Hey, are you the F word?" And his response was, "Why do you want my number?" And then the whole table kind of laughed. And then another one of my friends, Steve Common, said that he had the word carved on his freshman year door, but it was misspelled. And he placed an ad. He placed an ad in the Collegian. And he said, lost 1G by the person who wrote the F word on my door. If found, please return it. And I was just like, what? How did I miss this? What was going on? How did I miss this? You know, so it was the late 80s and early 90s in Central Ohio. And Kenyon was taking like these really baby steps toward the progressions regarding a whole host of issues, including sexual identity. And even with that, though, everybody that I talked to said that they had this certain amount of peace in that environment, because in the weirdest places they would find the support that they needed to really start to deal with their issues of sexual identity and coming out. And I think one of them even said that the first AIDS benefit and AMFAR event in the state of Ohio was held at Kenyon. And I had no idea of that. So, I mean, I could go on with this history lesson that I recently learned. But my point here is to talk about sort of the history of that verbal and physical intimidation and the real threat of physical violence and how that has really evolved. I'm wondering if the young people on this campus who are going through what you're going through right now, and even allies, if they have a sense of this history, or if they're just really kind of embracing the incredible possibility right now that we see with what's going on in the general culture. I mean, I was a member of the Alumni Council, so I come back to campus more often than most alumni, and also with students who are actually on campus living life as students. And so I have seen with my own eyes, you know, out fraternity men. I never would have seen an out fraternity man, I don't think, while I was there, or now you, an out athlete. And so when I'm explaining this to my peers, they're like, what? Are you sure? And I'm like, no, I'm very, very sure, you know. And they talk about the guys that they kind of hooked up with in other fraternities who were not out, but none of this was out. And so part of it is having alumni and older folks from different colleges and universities across the country kind of live through this experience. But do you think that you guys have a sense of that history? Do you think you have a sense of being trailblazers in some way and continuing with that work?
Well, I honestly can't speak for everybody who's out on this campus, but from my personal experience of being out on this campus for like a semester and a couple of weeks, I haven't experienced any like hatred or like physical or mental abuse from any other peers. And I don't know if that's attributed to me being bigger than them or like physically intimidating them or anything. But I never knew that, like, in the past, like, people would be so aggressive to openly gay people, such as writing, like, carving the words into the doors or being so, like, publicly hateful towards these people. And it's actually surprising to me. But also, I think that this was only, I don't know if the people, like, the instance you said where the fraternity member called out to the guy, like, are you an F-word? If that happened here, I think that guy would be, like, shunned and extremely looked down upon. And I think it's incredible, because if that happened in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, this campus has evolved so much in only 20 years.
Yeah.
And I think that it's attributed to, it could be, like, politically, how we're, everybody's being more open about it, how, like, oh, this is actually fine, like, this doesn't affect us at all, like, why are we even worrying about this? Or it just could be the Kenyan community as a whole, where intellectually we're just like, hey, like, this is stupid. Like, why are we hating our peers? Kenyan is supposed to be this loving community where everybody's being accepted for who they are, and yet we're shutting these people away. So I think it's crazy how only 20 years ago, like, this stuff was happening on this campus, because, to be honest, I don't think in my time at Kenyan, I haven't heard an open stance against the LGBT community. Because I think the acceptance here is just so big that it's just not okay to have that stance, I guess.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that. I want you to think from your own perspective, from your lived experience, what would you tell several groups of people, and I'll just give them to you one at a time, about how to be present, to care for, to support their family members, loved ones, friends who are coming out. So I'm going to start with family and friends. What would you tell them?
Honestly, like, you should probably just treat them the exact same way you treated them their whole lives before they came out to you. If anything, you should love them even more, because they're confiding something for you that they've been keeping a secret for their whole lives, and they trusted you enough and loved you enough to confide in you and trust you. And obviously, if they're telling you, they want you to accept them because they enjoyed your relationship or before they came out, and they want it to continue, and think that them telling you their secret wouldn't change anything that happened mm-hmm. before.
What would you say to colleges and universities about making their environments inviting and welcoming?
I think a great way to do so is to have student organizations such as the Unity House or Kenyan Athletes for Equality or whatever the college or university's name is, and then just have like safe spaces on this campus and to know that students can get help if they need it. And I don't know if it's an option on other campuses or universities, but Kenyan offers free counseling. Either you can go to the counseling office and set up an appointment, it's free of charge, and they encourage people to go. I think last year over 50% of the students at least had one appointment with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to have somebody to talk to is just huge.
Mm-hmm.
And also Kenyan, like the faculty, a lot of them, like I think majority of them, if not all of them, have this like the Kenyan crest and then like a little like LGBT like colors in the mm-hmm. background of the Kenyan crest, and they mm-hmm. have it like sticking out on the doors to like kind of show like we accept you for who you are, and like it's a safe space in my office, like in my classroom, and like the teachers will take a stance for you if they really need to.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches do the same. I think the Kenyan Athletes for Equality made a video to say, like,
yeah,
you can play,
they did.
You can play.
That's exactly right. I saw it.
A lot of the coaches were in that and showing their support.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
if it could be possible that if more campuses and universities had these resources available to their students, that it could be a more safe environment for people to explore or come out in their sexuality.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20. And what are your hopes for life after Kenyan?
well, I don't know. I'm still exploring
okay.
that option.
Mm-hmm.
The only plan I have after college is taking a year off and hopefully traveling the world. And in that year time span, I'll figure out what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
I've been like on a pre-med track. I've been interested in like film and photography. I've been interested in research. To be honest, like I'm trying to just find something that I would want to wake up every single morning and be happy to go into my job. And as long as it's not in the cubicle, I'll be happy.
What lights you up?
To be honest, what makes me happy is when I'm hanging out with my friends and everybody's just having a great time and they're being themselves, because to me, I get happier when other people are happier around me. And
mm-hmm.
that could be like either after a huge lacrosse game win, that could be after like people did really well on a test, or it can just be like playing video games with the guys. Like it's just like those moments that really make me happy, because there's people are enjoying life in that moment,
mm-hmm.
which I think life is all about, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I got 23 years on you, and when I shared the story, so many people in our Kenyan family and beyond were moved and touched and inspired by it. I can't tell you how many people said, this is so promising because I have a gay daughter or a gay son, and they're about to face college, and I had no idea what to tell them, and this is something that I'll use, or folks who have gone through this process and in their own lives. It was a really powerful witness, and I cannot thank you enough for having the mindset to bring it to the masses. And I think I know who the person is. That's the administrator at Kenyan. He's a friend of mine who encouraged you, and I want to honor him and thank him. And just the environment of our college, like so many others, because I worked in higher education and worked at Emory University, and had one of the first LGBTQ offices on a college campus, especially in the South back in the 90s. There's a lot
mm-hmm.
of work that has been done and will continue to be done on this front, and I'm just happy that I was a part of it, and happy that my beloved alma mater is a part of it in such a powerful way that it provided you with the space to explore this and to come out and to be happy and at peace with it. I'm just really grateful to hear that, and I will be seeing you on February 22nd when I'm on campus. I will be at your game against the College of Mount St. Joseph, rocking my vintage men's lacrosse jacket and my hat and cheering the Lords on to victory. But I wanted to thank you, Holden Richards, for being out and being a light for so many other people on college campuses and sports and fraternities. to tell their truth about their sexual orientation and to tell their stories and to create a space for other people to do the same. That is incredible and amazing. I'm so, so glad that you are a part of my Kenyon College family, that you are my brother, and that you are providing a really needed voice for college athletes who are coming out. Thank you so much for coming on the AYG list today, and I can't wait to see you in the snow.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Follow Holden Richards on Twitter at Holden_Richards and on Instagram at HoldenWR.
You've been listening to the AYG list with April Yvonne Garrett, a part of the Tavis Smiley Network on Blog Talk Radio. The AYG list posts every Tuesday and Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. April would love to hear from you on Facebook and Twitter and invite you to take a peek into her world on Instagram at the AYG list. Also, visit her inspiration, lifestyle, and social commentary blog, theayglist.com. Thank you for listening. Don't sweat the technique.